just going to be to get better. That's our whole objective, and our whole focus was on just getting better. It wasn't on winning this or winning that or this is a big game. It was just every opportunity was a chance to get better, and it just took care of itself.
I can't answer that, but that's all that go ahead.
Is that going to be the focus? What else is there? What the hell would you be doing this for if it wasn't a win?
Yeah.
We're trying to win every. We're trying to win today. Who's going to get the better lunch? I mean, let's not make any misunderstandings about why we're here. This is all nice and dandy, but winning is what this thing is all about.
I feel the pain, and I know how difficult it's been. But make no mistake about it. The people of Jacksonville deserve a winner. We will put the right people in place to get that done. That's why I'm here. Thank you.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Mike Dempsey, you look a lot more handsome over there. How are you, Mike Dempsey?
I'm doing great.
You're doing good.
Does that make you Tony Smith?
I guess I'm Tony Smith.
All right, but I guess I'm Sticks. This is weird. It's like Freaky Friday.
So yeah, technical difficulties, like Beef said, we're having trouble. We've never had this issue before, so Mike and Tony are en route over here to the 1010XL World Headquarters.
It is Friday the 13th.
A lot to talk about. We got a lot of audio from yesterday's press conferences. Doug Marrone, the brand new head coach, the EVP, Tom Coughlin, welcome back to Jacksonville. That was a great moment to see him coming back to Jacksonville. As an outsider, I don't really have that connection that to Tom Coughlin that most of the people here in town that saw that success, and obviously he was an outsider as well, Jordan. We don't have that connection, but it's still cool a moment to see that all the people get excited for TC to come back in a role that he's not really familiar with.
I think, like you said, as an outsider, it was interesting to hear those sound bites that you got to hear from Gus Bradley at his introductory press conference and the complete just change in tone of what you saw yesterday, because I think that's what excited most people, at least what I saw on Twitter.
So. Right. Shout out to Made by Tim on Twitter. He put that little montage together. I just straight up ripped it from him. So shout out to Made by Tim. I'll give him credit for that because I had the idea. I was talking to Donna Murphy.
It was solid.
I said, Donna Murphy, look at the difference in the contrast between Gus Bradley's press. They're talking about, we maximize our capabilities. Everyone plays their standard. Brings their best every day, and we'll have the opportunity to win a lot of games. I promise you that. And that's what Gus Bradley said at his presser. And you see TC and Doug Marrone said, what the hell else you got to do out there? You're going to win. We're here to get the better lunch. You're going to compete and everything. So we're going to carry this thing for about another 10 minutes or so. Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith are on their way. You probably don't hear my voice or Jordan's voice or Beef's voice this often during the segment. Beef.
And you're welcome.
Beef, you're getting the triple time overtime pay, correct?
No, that's a negative ghostwriter. This is all gratis for me. It's my gift to you. It's charity for the people of Jacksonville.
Oh, you're so kind. Somebody on the text line also said the Russians have hacked 1010XL.
The Russians have hacked 1010XL. There's the answer. So if anyone has a direct line to Vladimir Putin, please give it to us on the Duval 4 text line.
It's weird that we're so susceptible to hacks being that we have a hacker on staff.
Maybe hacker is the hacker.
Is the hacker?
He just wanted the extended hacker after dark. You know, hacker after
dark
is now 3 days a week.
3 days.
3 days a week.
Nice.
He's going Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday with all your hot takes
We're
and fresh Jaguars news.
Hacker before dark?
After before dark.
Hacker
starting
before
here
dark.
At 10 o'clock. So, yeah, Tyler, David, Beef over there in the studio making it all happen, keeping it all together. Everyone over here freaking out because we've never had this difficulty before. But Mike and Tony are on their way. Jordan here as well. Our question of the day has been posted by Mike Dempsey. What is your reaction to what you have heard from yesterday's press conference? And that is at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. And if you send your submissions, Tony will only read it if you put hashtag Jaguars Today. So we might get 50 or 60 responses to our question of the day, but if only five of you put the hashtag, that's the only way it's going to get read. So, again, our question of the day, what is your reaction to what you heard from yesterday's Jaguars press conference in Jordan? I will go to you first. What is the one thing that stood out to you of anything you heard from Doug Marrone, Dave Caldwell, who I will go out and say, he got a demotion.
It's
the best kind of demotion you can
clear
get.
Clear as day.
It's the best kind of demotion you can get because it's honestly saying, we believe you may have done a good enough job to stay, but there's a lot of people out there that think that David didn't deserve the extension. So it's kind of weird the way the dominoes fell with the news and the way it broke. And it wasn't really released by the Jags. It was kind of Adam Schefter that just kind of released all of these things in a row. So kind of the order was very strange in the way it came out. But what, Jordan, your question of the day, what is your reaction to what you heard from yesterday's press conference from Doug Marrone, Dave Caldwell, Shad Khan, and Tom Coughlin?
Well, first off, I'm excited by how many great football minds are going to be able to contribute into the next couple of seasons, because I think
people with experience.
Exactly. And with winning experience. And I think that that's going to be crucial in this. But I think the thing that stuck out to me was when Doug Marrone took the time to send that subliminal message to the players.
You don't see that very often.
No. And it made me, as a member of the media, you know, sit there and say, okay, he is not going to just let these guys come in here and think that they have a position on this team. No matter how good you are, you may see one of the better players be cut because of his attitude or maybe his mindset. And I think that he sent the message yesterday, you better get to work.
Yeah, you're not going to be late to meetings.
No.
I can tell you that right now.
No, I mean, media members couldn't even be late yesterday.
We did have some Googans on the text line speculate whether Tom was behind the Jaguars today, technical issues, maybe pulled the plug out. Maybe he felt like Tom, like Mike and Tony weren't really fitting his vision.
I will admit, Jordan was doing her update, and I walked into the studio, so if I was on TC time, I should have been there about 5 minutes earlier.
Well,
so
I've been working with Sticks long enough. Sticks doesn't operate on TC time. It's going to be a problem. Sticks is more of a 10:03 guy.
Jordan's down to the update, and I hear the All By Myself song, and I get out of there.
Now, we did start early.
Yeah, you guys broke early.
Yeah, we broke early.
The weekend had to start early for the
team. Yeah, I mean, the guys had already packed up all their gear. I had to move quickly.
Our text here, with the hashtag, of course, make 1010XL great again. Bring back Hacker Afternoons full time. Miss the comedy. You can get it after, I believe he's even putting some of it on demand. I saw his Mark Dominic interview on demand, 1010XL.com. But anyways, our question of the day, what is the thing that stood out to you most? Beef, you heard a lot of the audio this morning. You guys talked about it on the drill. What is the one thing that stood out to you from the four, I guess, guys in the brain trust of the Jaguars now?
Well, like you said, it's the tone. The tone is different. And it's not unexpected with the names that are involved, with Coughlin there and Marrone being kind of from that same tree, so to speak, that Parcells tree, those Northeastern football coach guys, that, you know, the level of accountability seems to be a little bit higher. It's just such a stark contrast from what we've grown to expect the last few years, fair or unfair, of the Bradley regime, was that, you know, the emphasis was placed more on improvement than results.
I mean, you heard it in our open there.
Yeah.
If everyone just plays to our capabilities, we'll have a lot of opportunities to win games. And
yeah, you know, we talked about it in the
process.
Morning. It was a dangerous precedent to set, because you create a belief and an expectation in the minds of the fan base that losing is okay, and that bleeds over.
And you saw some former players talk to Ryan O'Halloran and Hayes Carline, who's now here at 1010XL, by the way. It's a great move there. You saw some players complain about the lax feel around the locker room. I believe Mercedes Lewis may have been one of them to the Times
Union.
Yeah,
they're not going to worry about that anymore.
No, you're not going to have that lax feel anymore, especially when you start the season 2-5, 2-6, and you have that losing streak, and you see things go downhill. There will be corrections to be made. From the 885, love it, a sense of urgency to win. No more rah-rah. Hashtag Jags today. Again, the Duval 4 text line 641-1010. Bert says, Tom decided he didn't want a radio station broadcasting from Everbank. He ran the boys off, and Beef is kind of cool, too, I guess.
Thank you. Thank you, Bert.
A couple more coming in here on Twitter from Jags 1185. A wait-and-see attitude right now. It still feels like putting lipstick on a pig until the results come. And I was saying that yesterday because a caller called in and brought up a really good point that I agreed with and said, this team's got a limited ceiling as long as Blake Bortles is the quarterback. And it's a quarterback-driven league. You hear that all the time. I mean, I've been hearing that since I was a little kid. This is the only quarterback league, Jimmys and Joes, not X's and O's. And our Jimmy, so-called Jimmy at quarterback, is not a top-tier guy, not even a top 15, I wouldn't even say top 20 guy at the quarterback.
No, people are putting him in the likes of Brock Osweiler and guys like
Dilfer,
like that.
Dilfer said he was the worst quarterback in the league. That's garbage. That's not true. He's bad. He's really bad.
But when Dilfer had his little rant, his little diatribe, the thing that people took most offense to wasn't his criticism of Bortles. People thought that was fair. It was his unprompted criticism of the city.
Yes.
So it's not like people thought he was going out on this crazy limb when he said that Bortles was the worst QB in the league.
You can think he's the worst quarterback in the league. I strongly disagree. There's probably four or five different quarterbacks as we have these superstars of Jaguars today. The guys who are, you're actually here paying big money to see Tony Smith walking in, Mike Dempsey coming in as well. David Garrard coming in. Dave, how you doing?
I feel like this is how you feel like when Elvis kind of comes out on the stage. you know?
Beef's trying to talk to you, Tony, but Tony doesn't have headphones, yeah. So okay. It doesn't really matter. I don't think Tony really listens to what Beef says anyways. But,
no, I just walked straight in the studio because I know this is kind of what we're paid to do here.
Yeah.
Is this 2 hours? So,
Wait, they pay these guys?
I mean, I got here as quickly as I could. We've never had that issue before, right? Like, we've never had that issue. We've been doing the show down there for 3 years. There's been days where we just couldn't get connected. So we decided to come up here anyway and do the show here. Or there was, like, a jackhammer going on in the background. We all remember the jackhammer show with Ryan O'Halloran and I, at least trying to do a segment with that thing pounding away in the background. But we've never had the issue where we were fine, and then it was showtime and it just completely went out, David. But it was fun. It was kind of nice to have, you know, get the heart pumping.
Definitely different, you know. It ruined my opening by saying, hey, guys, I'm here 5 minutes early. You know, that's kind of the thing.
Yeah.
And I had to zip across town, you know, so.
Yeah, you guys are 11 minutes late, and Tom's going to want to see you guys in his office.
Yeah, Tom may want to see us in the office when everything is said and done. We'll see about all that. I tell you, David, I'm excited that you're in here because I know you were only in Jacksonville for a short time when Tom Coughlin was here, too. But I've heard stories from all the former players, and I heard Tyler and Jordan discussing this a little bit on the way in. But the Marone talking basically directly to the players through the press conference yesterday, and it's one of the things that Jeff Loggeman has said a lot to us when talking about Tom Coughlin, and I think you hear the players that he played with in New York and Jacksonville echo this kind of sentiment, that the idea that you earn the right to win, you know, and you earn that throughout the weekend practice, you earn that throughout the offseason, and it felt like Doug Marone was basically sending that exact message, and I don't know if that's because Tom and him had talked or because that's just the exact same philosophy that Doug Marone has, coming kind of from that Coughlin-Belichick type of tree, where it's you earn the right on Sundays to win. It's not about putting yourself in the best position during games. It's not about effort. It's not about those things. It's about what we do during the week is going to put you in a position to win games. It's not something that just gets handed to you in this league.
Well, when that's the case, you're hungry then. You're not just handed a situation where you're the starter, you're the one playing, and you never have to look over your shoulder. You're hungry. You're motivated to go out there and produce because you know that's going to keep you in the game. That's going to keep you as a player, as a guy on the field. If you're not doing that, then that just means, you know, whatever I do, it doesn't matter. And, you know, few of my inside sources I've heard, you know, through the year that whether they're 0-12 or whether they were 12-0 in the locker room, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. And that's sad, you know, because they were never 12-0 or anything above 500.
Right.
So, there should be a sense of urgency in the locker room, and I think I heard you guys talking about it when you're doing an interview in the locker room and you hear, you know, ping pong balls going back and forth, because I can remember when we weren't playing well and Jack had ping pong tables and pool table in the locker room, all that was gone. It was, hey, y'all don't deserve to have this stuff in the locker room. You're playing well enough to even have it in here. So how about we get some focus and straighten up, and let's go win some ball games, and then maybe these things will return.
Yeah, I'm going to get back to that. We got to take a break right here. First of all, you guys have done this all wrong. If we're going to get docked for one segment, I was sitting out in my car in the parking lot until I hear you guys come on the radio. I'm like, man, can't even take it to the commercial break. It's unbelievable. Wow. You guys don't know how to slack, all right? It's Friday.
We could
have been here at 10:30, and we would have been fine. Hey,
this is a different organization now.
This is Tyler's time, man. He was ready to shine. All right. Tyler's already thrown the question of the day out there for you a couple of times. So just give us your reaction. If you haven't already, you may have yesterday, to what you heard, whether it was from Coughlin or Marone or Caldwell or any of the participants era, or how the collective has changed your opinion maybe going forward on what the Jags offseason will look like, how the season will look, or maybe it didn't. Whatever your reaction is, we want to hear about it. Obviously, David Garrard is here. Fat Tony is here. Thanks to Beef and Jordan and Tyler for carrying us for the opening few minutes of the program. Pretty sure, like you guys were alluding to, TC is like, wait a minute. They've got to show that they do in this building? No, they don't. Right? The death of transparency, ladies and gentlemen, at 9:59 a.m. on Friday the 13th, 2017. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I can't answer that, but that's all that I'm Go ahead.
Is that going to be the focus? What else is there? What the hell would you be doing this for if you're in the win?
Yeah.
We're trying to win every. We're trying to win today. Who's going to get the better lunch? I mean, let's not make any misunderstandings about why we're here. This is all nice and dandy, but winning is what this thing is all about.
Yeah, all this stuff, me sitting at a table, is all nice and dandy. Tony, you said he had it after the second question, right?
I did. I honestly thought the question that was asked, and I thought it was a fine question. I think O'Halloran asked, or was it Hayes, asked about how do you feel about the young defensive players. Right, how do you feel about the young defensive players that you're inheriting on this roster? And he's like, I got to go look into that. I'm not really going to talk about that. And then someone else asked him, you know, how's it going to work with all you guys? Who's got the final say? And he said, we're all working together. We're working as a team. Blake Bortles is our quarterback. It was three sentences, and I was like, he's over this.
He's right, like, period. Like, move on. What else are you going to ask
He's over me? This whole thing. He gave his opening statement. He thought that's all the information that anyone needed. And now it's time for them to just move on and get to work.
This may be the winner right here on new T-shirt slogan for it's pretty simple. I'm sure a lot of people have thought of something along these lines. But Jarrell, who's a avid tweeter to the program, we appreciate mm-hmm. that, Jarrell, at Professor Floyd 88. He said, "Looking forward to getting tired of all this winning." That's his reaction to the press conference. But the hashtag win lunch. Right? You got to win lunch, man. If you can't win lunch, I can't expect to win football games right here. I like that. It's got to be Jags 2017. Just win lunch. Something like that, right? I mean, it's the first step in the process. No, we're not going to use the word process anymore. Find me if we use the word process, Tony.
Oh,
okay?
Goodness.
Let's see how long we can go.
That's going to be tough. It's been ingrained in your
head. It has. You're right. You're right. It absolutely has. Hey, I thought the first week, you'd never think I'd call Dave Caldwell anything but Dave Campbell. All right, the first week that he got after he got hired. And I instituted a fine system on myself. And because I'm so cheap, Dave, I didn't want to pay that quarter every time I said it. So from now on, anytime anyone says the P word on this program, they're getting a quarter fine. Even if it's totally applicable, even if they're not talking about the steps, which is another word for the P word, the steps taken to get to victory. P word is off limits, at least for now. See how long that can last.
So we can't talk about Joel Embiid then?
No.
Okay.
No, you may not. No, you may not. Is that his nickname?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I assumed. So.
The process.
I could have just played along with that, but I'm not even going to pretend to be that cool anymore, man. I don't know anybody's nickname. I see, you know, we get these on Sirius, we'll cross-promote different channels on Sirius, right? So we'll get reads. We're doing a plug for, like, the NBA channel and stuff like that. And it's gotten to the point now, occasionally I'm like, it'll be like, when Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors take on, who's this guy? He's like the headliner from some team in the league.
Yeah.
I don't quite follow the association like I used to, I find. All right, so yesterday, I mean, he came in, the sheriff laid down the law. I think Doug Marrone is cut from the same cloth. I think, you know, these guys, tough, no nonsense. The thing I wanted to react to, you're talking about the ping pong table, because I brought that up yesterday. Okay, and I heard somebody call in this morning, and I don't know if they're referring to me or maybe something that somebody else wrote.
They said the station.
They said they were listening to the station, but then they tried to, somebody like Jeff attributed it to John Osier saying this. I don't know if he said something along this line as well.
The caller said, I heard John Osier say something about the ping pong table being a distraction.
Right. What I said lines. About the ping pong table is, look, you can't think that there's no downtime. Even when you're a player, Dave, you go home, right? You're going to do, maybe you play ping pong at home, maybe you play foosball, maybe you watch a movie.
Yep.
You do relax. It's okay to not be 24/7 anything, because you'll burn out doing that. But to me, it was more just about the message that it sent, the subliminal message that it sent to Jaguar fans. And it wasn't even that I would go in there and hear the ping pong table. It was just, it would strike me when I would hear an interview. Like, I do my interviews for the pregame show in the studio. That's mm-hmm. just where I do it, right? Yep. It's easy because I got Fortunato there to run it into the system and all this. For instance, if Lauren's doing an interview, she goes to the locker room. It's just different, you know, accessibility and whatever. So, and she'll be in there, and I'd hear something on the pregame show, and I'd hear the tick, 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 back and forth of the ping pong table. And it's like, you know, again, you're in the midst of an 8-game losing streak and whatever. Don't Don't for 1 hour a day, just put the paddles down.
I understand what you're saying. And the message is not for the fans. The message is for the team. And they need to see that, okay, it's not okay to come into our workplace and be playing ping pong and shooting pool while we're in this 8-game losing streak. Like, that, there has to be a sense of urgency. And I think when you allow that to continue on in the locker room, and like you said, you go home, you're going to do whatever. You're going to go shop at the mall.
Sure,
you're going to go to the movies. Do whatever you want.
Might do a Friday afternoon radio show because it's relaxing.
Yeah. But when we're here for those few hours, it's all about our jobs right now. And if you earn, if you get on a 3-game win streak, then maybe we can bring those things
back.
But right now, we have to change the culture in this locker room. And when I said I was talking to somebody, and they said, when you go over there, you can't tell if they're on a 12-game winning streak or a 12-game losing streak. Like, the vibe in there, it's just the same. Nothing changes. And that, to me, is more troubling than anything, because I want to feel a sense of urgency as a player. If we're not doing well, I want to feel like somebody is lighting something under my butt, because that gets me more motivated to go out there and do my job and do it better, because I know that this might be the last time I get to come out here and do it.
Right.
You know, especially as a quarterback, you need to feel like, okay, you know what? The last two games weren't what we wanted. It's not winning football. So I need to change this, because there is a chance that I have that I might not. There's only a couple of us here, so I might not be the guy out there. And that's a big thing for a quarterback, because you can sub in other guys throughout the game if you have to. But for a quarterback, like, use that job, that's everybody hears it, everybody knows it. So you don't want to get to that position. You want to make sure that you're always the guy out there, and that it's not your fault, reason why we're losing right now. And I just never felt like there was, he showed it that he played all year long, how he played, and never got pulled out in the second half. Never just said, hey, we're just going to sit you down and let you just think about things. Not pull you out for the rest of the season, but
right.
Just you need to think about some things right now. The Tennessee game, he played better in the second half, but I wouldn't have even let it get that far. You know, there just has to be a level of accountability, and didn't seem like that was going on.
All right, Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you, 641-1010, the number. It's a Friday brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Doesn't have to be positive reaction. We'll take whatever we get. We'll go to the phones here momentarily. Just want to read this one tweet. D. West said after the rain on Twitter, we need to pump the brakes. This is great. It's TC, not JC, and Khan needed to hire TC to keep season ticket holders in hopes of increase, and then he got cut off, maybe increasing ticket prices down the line or whatever. I will say that there, without Tom at that press conference yesterday, oh, boy. You know, I mean, really, yeah. Right? I mean, Doug Marrone is there's nothing personal against Doug Marrone. He is a qualified NFL coach, right? Nobody says he's not. But it would not have moved the needle an iota, I don't think, among most fans. That's not the sole purpose. You can be all excited. We've had so much offseason excitement over the last 4 years, and it's translated to nothing during the season.
Look, so. I think that tweet is a direct result of 10 years of getting beat down makes you cynical when Tom Coughlin comes back in the building. I mean,
maybe.
Seriously. I mean, that's TC coming back to this organization. They're like, oh, he's just trying to keep ticket sales where they're going to be.
Right,
and
right.
Look, I think there's a lot of fans, and we've gotten it over the course of the week since the announcement of Marrone and Tom Coughlin came down, that why are you keeping Marrone? Why are you keeping Caldwell? It's just the same guys that went 3-13 last year. How are you going to keep this going forward and think that you're just continuing along the same line? I don't know how you could watch what happened at yesterday's press conference and think this is the same direction they were going in January of last year.
But I think it's a lot of that is because of the presence of Coughlin.
No
right?
doubt.
Right, and that, I think he is saying to him.
And Marrone's the same type of guy, but it's not as clear without Coughlin there to clarify it.
Right. With Coughlin has been there, done that here in Jacksonville, had success, and there are a lot of reasons to rally behind Tom Coughlin, you know, not the least of which is, as Tom will remind you, part of three Super Bowl championship teams.
Yeah.
Only two as the head coach, but we get it. But I think the greater point here from D. West is he's Tom Coughlin, not the Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
He's not a miracle worker. He will come in, and I think he will improve conditions. It doesn't guarantee you anything. You still have to get the right players, draft the right guys. He's missed on draft picks before. So all these things, it's still a lot of work to be done. You didn't win the 2017 season because you hired Tom Coughlin and Doug Marone, I think is the point there. Let's get Steve on the north side before we break at 641-1010. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, fellas.
What's up?
All right. I'm not saying this isn't going to work. No, when I say this, don't take it the wrong way. Now, I appreciate Tom, what he done for the, you know, for the team, for the fans or whatnot. But I just can't let the boards, the pools and everything, the environment overshadow some of his decision making. Now, he's 5 years in, and I think when he made the comment that he didn't regret not firing Gus Bradley, I think that was along the lines of BS a little bit. Now, like y'all just said, I don't think it's going to be like with Gus Bradley and everyone, how he kept everyone. You know, I hope it works. I really do hope it works. But it just seems like it's like a you brought Tom Coughlin in to kind of water down your decision making a little bit. And I think kind of deserve a little criticism on that side.
Okay, but I'm not sure. What do you mean by water down your decision making?
Because it's already questionable for you keeping wrong. Everybody has to go back to the question, well, why didn't you do this earlier? Because I think when he didn't fire Gus Bradley, I think along the line, week after week, he was kind of in his head like, dang, I should have fired Bradley. I should have fired Bradley. Because if that was the case, he wouldn't have fired him in the last 2 weeks. He would have just stuck with it.
See, I don't agree with that. Shad Khan doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who's going to go, oh, man, I should have done that. Hey, you know, because he could go, well, I could still do that. He's a billionaire businessman who's I'm not. That doesn't mean he's infallible, Steve. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think Shad Khan was like, "Oh, I missed my window to fire Gus. I can't fire him now." Then why would he fire him at all during the season? You know, I mean, I could he have done it early? Certainly could have done it earlier. They've explained, and you don't have to accept their reasoning for why they didn't do it earlier. They kept thinking that the Jags were going to get on a roll at some point in time.
I think with now, why you would bring in TC is because he doesn't have the NFL knowledge and history of what to do as an owner. Yeah, he knows how to run a business, but it's still different, though. And so TC understands that completely. Like, at least he can say, hey, you know what, this is a situation here. We're going to have to go this route. He's like, oh, okay, I didn't think about it like that. So he's here to basically curve his, you know, when you're trying to learn something, you learn it faster now because now TC's here. He's going to help him grow more as an owner of making some business decisions for the NFL when it relates to coaches and situations that we're in. This isn't working, so we need to do something now as opposed to, I wonder, not when's the best time, but maybe I just don't know. Like, I don't know when is the best time.
And that may be the case, but I don't think, just the point I was making of what Steve said, I don't think Shad Khan doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to sit there and second guess him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, just none of these owners are really like that, I don't think. At least most of them are, if they're self-made, unless they inherited the family business and they just fell into a team. Shad Khan made, you know, he made his life on making decisions and standing by them and not, you know, and probably making a lot of mistakes along the way. I don't think he's the guy who's afraid to make a decision. That's all I'm saying. The timing of should I get rid of him or not, I just don't see him going, oh, man, I should have fired him. Now I can't do it. He's not that kind of guy.
Yeah, he's not.
He's much more decisive. Look at what he's done with Fulham over in England. I mean, fires guys willy-nilly left and right. Maybe not willy-nilly, but you get my point. He doesn't seem to have a hard time.
I just feel like, you know, soccer in England and NFL football in America.
Soccer in England's.
I know it's big over there,
but
I don't know. I don't know the depth of, you know, their loyalty, which I know it is deep, but I don't know. I just feel like it's different.
I know we're up against the break, but maybe you want to answer this after the break. Do you think that maybe him firing so many coaches with the Fulham team made him a little skittish with firing Gus Bradley and just wanted to give him every opportunity to make sure
you know
that
what?
This is not the guy?
I think the malarkey, I've said this for a while, that you fire malarkey after 1 year, do you want to get the reputation in the NFL being the guy who fires a guy after every year or two if they don't get the job done? Because then who's going to take your job, right? So I do think that Gus
soccer they move around a bunch.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think it's different.
Granted, I'm just saying it in terms of turning over coaches, you're not going to do it as frequently in the NFL. I'm just talking about Shad Khan, the decision maker.
Yeah,
to me, he's a man of action. Yeah. All right, he's not going to sit there in his room and go, I wish I had someone who could advise me. Hey, he may make some mistakes, and he's open to having advisement, but in terms of pulling the trigger on a decision, I don't sense that Shad Khan has any issue with that whatsoever. He's the boss, and he's quite content in that role. All right, we got to take a break. 641-1010. Come back on the other side. More of your reaction to the continuing changing landscape of the Jacksonville Jaguars power structure. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
First, congratulations on not being head
Thank
coach
you.
In terrible weather anymore. Say you win 11, 12, maybe 13 games in a season. How do we know you won't jet this team like you did in Buffalo? Doug, have you talked to Dave about Ryan Nassib at all? And on a scale of 1 to Syracuse, do you plan on giving him a call maybe to give Bortles some competition? Because you had
a bad day. Won the best day for some questioners yesterday.
Holy cow.
Down at Everbank. On a scale from 1 to Syracuse, those are some pretty bad questions, I think. That would put it somewhere like at Colgate. I don't know. What would be from between here and Syracuse?
Dude, I was listening to that thinking, can you really ask that question? Are they really going to give you, like, roster breakdown?
Are you going to jet other the Jaguars players? Like you jetted the Bills?
Wow. Did they invite hecklers into the room? Is that?
I mean, look, at least I'll say this.
I wish I had been in the room to see Tom's face.
At least, Coughlin didn't have his flunkies lined up, his paid flunkies at the back of the press conference to cheer his answers and to shout down anyone who asked a dumb question. But that would have been the target right there.
Holy cow.
Couple of those. Look, we asked Doug Marrone, right? When he sat down with us, there's a way to... How do we know you're not going to leave? You know, I mean, he just signed the contract, man. I don't know. Look, is it unfair to probe that area? Why did you leave Buffalo? I mean, he's never really answered why he left it. I've said all along, I said it before the Jags hired him on, Dave, and I repeated it this week. I don't care. If you don't want him to leave, you don't want him to have the ability to leave, don't put it in his contract that he can opt out of the contract. Who has that in their contract?
Even when that happened, I didn't understand. I was like, what? This doesn't make you never see that. You
right. And it came with, if he chose the opt-out, he got $4 million.
Yeah.
And he could walk away with $4 million, and it was non-offset money. In other words, if he had got another head coaching job, he would get that salary on top of the $4 million. Didn't seem like that hard of a decision.
It was a really stupid contract.
It was a dumb contract, and it apparently not the greatest working environment, although now the Pegula family, who owns the Bills, came out and said, we're not dysfunctional. Hey, a little late to the party here, right? I saw that on NFL.com
today. You know how you know
today.
Someone's dysfunctional? When they're yelling at you, they're not dysfunctional.
Right, when they're yelling at you like weeks after the issue has come up. Oh, by the way, we just noticed y'all are talking about us here.
So we thought those were two really weird and kind of strange questions. Well, on the Duval Ford text line from the 248, your question sucked too, Dempsey.
That's fine. You can hate my question
you
if you
question.
Want to.
We need a clarification on the staff.
I want to know, and you know what? If you think my question is dumb, I brought up my own question yesterday. I brought up the fact that Marrone said, I've already answered that. I don't feel like you had. There's reports out there that have indicated Todd Wash is going to be the defensive coordinator, that Nate Hackett will be the offensive coordinator. Asked, are they coming back in those roles? And if so, why? What was your decision-making? And, you know, he doesn't want to talk about the coach. That's fine.
Yeah, if that kind of testiness, I expect.
If you think that's a dumb question, you know, hey, coach, on a scale of 1 to Chuck Knoll, who's going to be the best coach for this team, huh? Did I ask that? I don't think I did. But anyway, 641-1010 if you want to come in. Let's see. This on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Dave said that Tom put his choice in of Doug with the final two coaching candidates. Is it widely assumed that Mike Smith was the other choice? I think Shad and Dave have both expressed that Coughlin endorsed two of the candidates, but that Marrone was the top of those two candidates that he endorsed. Now, some people assume that's Mike Smith. I don't know who Coughlin endorsed, but I know. I'll put it this way: there was a lot of admiration for Josh McDaniel.
I think a lot of the fans that are out there saying that Josh McDaniel said no to this job because of Blake Bortles, you're flat out wrong.
Absolutely,
you are flat out wrong. I get the sense that Josh McDaniels would have taken the Jaguars' job.
I get Tony. We've discussed this all week long. It's our understanding the Jaguar organization believes, and maybe they're wrong too. But the Jaguar organization believes that had they offered it to any of the known candidates that it was out there that they interviewed, that any one of them would have taken it.
Yeah.
So, and that's not just, hey, look how great we're. That is based on conversations that we've had, and we have reasons to believe that's what they believe. Now, whether they're right or not, who knows? It wasn't put to the test. Mm-hmm. But I think you get a pretty good sense of that, Dave, during the process. You know, is a guy just trying to get experience in the interview process? Is he just covering all his bases? Or is he genuinely interested in this opportunity?
Well, I think he would. I mean, there's still quite a few pieces here that, you know, you can win with. And, you know, is the jury still out on Blake? You know, that's the toughest part. But I still think there's enough pieces to be able to want to be a head coach here. You have an owner that will stand behind you. You already have seen that, you know, and is not afraid to do whatever it takes for the team, to improve the team, to improve the facilities, all those kind of things. So I think that's the things that, you know, head coaches love. And then, you know, of course, the ability to win ball games.
All right, back to the phones we go. 641-1010. Darren in Mandarin, you're next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. David, good to talk to you again, buddy. Happy New Year to you. Good to hear you on the radio again. And it's your blind man, by the way.
Thank you, sir. I know exactly who this is.
I just wanted to weigh in and ask you, though, that no one coughs on like you do. What do you think that may change now in the draft process of coming up, of where they may decide to go, being that Coughlin was a huge and always seems to be a huge foundation builder of the offensive line first, and where we what we have currently and what they may look to do? And I'll hang up and listen. And again, good talk to you. Glad your family's doing well, Dave.
Thanks, sir. I think it's going to have a huge impact. I think, yeah, you know, he definitely – you see his D-line with the Giants. He's always had solid D-line players, which, you know, will definitely help us here as well.
They fired a bunch of bullets at the offensive line, too. They just missed.
Yeah, so – and that's the thing. It's there's no proven fact on how to get the best guys. You think this guy is going to be the best guy, and he's not, you know, just like a Luke Jokel. I mean, I believe at that time, most people thought this is a good, solid pick right here, and it turned out that it really wasn't. And so there's just no open book on how you get the best guys. But, you know, you keep taking your chances, and you hope to, you know, land that guy that you have for 10 years.
Keep in mind, this team is in a much different place than they were when they started out, right? They started out, you needed a foundation because you had nothing, right? They didn't draft an offensive tackle with the number 2 overall pick. They drafted Tony Boselli. Okay. If Tony Boselli's not available in that draft, who knows who they would have taken in that draft, right? It's so, I mean, if it were.
There's no Boselli in this one.
Right. If there were a Reggie White type, maybe he would have started the Jaguars franchise with a Reggie White type guy, right? And so, you know, he's drafted plenty of defensive linemen. He drafted Henderson and Stroud in back to back years, but he also drafted Fred Taylor in the top 10, right? So, yeah. I don't think we can just say Tom Coughlin will draft this position group.
No. Right? No, I don't think so. And look, I've been saying it for a couple weeks now for everyone in the fan base that is they need to get the offensive line fixed, then they better do it in free agency. It's not coming at 4. I can tell you that. It's not coming at 4. I saw someone on Twitter yesterday talking to a couple different guys, the Twitter draft scout guys, whatever you consider them, how good or bad they are. But someone asked him about Cam Robinson to Arizona at 13. And he said, I think he's about 25 picks too early at 13.
Wow.
That's Cam Robinson, right? That may be the guy that everyone's circling as the number one offensive lineman in the draft, at least right now. And we'll see how it all shakes out here over the course of the next couple months. But that's somebody saying that they don't think that guy is worth anything more than a mid-second round pick.
All right. Also, I just got to point out, apparently I said process twice, did I?
You said process twice.
Did I? All right. That one doesn't count. When I'm clarifying, that one doesn't count. But I owe you 50 cents, though, for those two. No, the one, if I ask you, did I say the word process, that's not the same to me as using the word process. Although I just said that word three times in the last 30 seconds, so owe you $1.25.
We're going to break here soon, but some breaking NFL news regarding the playoffs this weekend. Jordy Nelson ruled out.
Yeah, it seemed like it was headed that way. They said at least two broken ribs with the helmet shot that he took.
Still going to beat the Cowboys.
Is that Dell on the south side, Tony? My eyes are shot, dude. Dell, you're next up on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, man.
Yes, sir. How you doing, fellas?
Doing well.
Hey, my question has to do with the Rooney Rule and the franchises needed, I guess, interview a black candidate.
Minority candidate.
Well, okay, fine. Minority candidate. I don't know if I've heard anywhere who it is that they interviewed.
It was Harold Goodwin, the offense coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals, very early in the process.
All right. Appreciate your help.
You got it, buddy. And I'll say this. I don't know his name. Can't think of his name off the top of my head. The Seattle defense coordinator interviewed for, I think it was the Buffalo job, right? And he said, boy, you know what? I came out of this process feeling like, now, Chris Richard, thank you. Now I am prepared. Now I know what it's going to take. And I feel like now the next time I go in there, I am ready to be a head coach in the National Football League. And he was so appreciative just of being able to interview. And that's all it's about.
That's what
exposing
it's about.
These guys to the process, exposing the league to some guys that are outside the cookie cutter of the obvious, you know, same old retreads. And
Anthony Lynn and Vance Joseph are going to get jobs.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's because they've been in that kind of, they've had the opportunity the last couple of years to be involved in that process. And now they may have gotten along in their career to a point where they're ready to be a head coach in this league.
Yeah. So but for the Jags, it was Harold Goodwin, the offensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. This Dayton football, the drive around the NFL. More of your calls straight ahead as well at 641-1010. Your reaction, continued reaction to yesterday's Jaguar press conference a-palooza down at Everbank. It is a Friday brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history. It's January 13th, and we go back to 1974. A couple of Super Bowls played on this date, including Super Bowl VIII. The Miami Dolphins knocked off Minnesota 24-7 in Houston, which is the site of this year's Super Bowl. Super Bowl MVP was Larry Zonka, 145 yards on the ground. That was the second consecutive championship for those Dolphins. In 1993, Super Bowl 27 in Pasadena. Remember, this was supposed to be played in Tempe, Arizona, and Tempe overruled a federal law instituting MLK Day, Martin Luther King Day, which is coming up on Monday. And the NFL, after there were boycotts on all kinds of entertainment events in the state of Arizona, the NFL pulled the Super Bowl from Tempe, put it in Pasadena. Ultimately, the law got voted in, and Tempe was given the Super Bowl, I think, in 1999. But in 93, it was the Cowboys knocking off the Bills 52-17. That was the Leon Lett getting chased down by Don Beebe game. I didn't remember this, at least when I read it this morning. Jim Kelly got hurt in the second quarter. That one went out. Frank Wright came in. Cowboys had 9 defensive turnovers of the Buffalo Bills in that game. Troy Aikman, the MVP on that day. Famous birthdays for this date. Happy 60th. To Russell Erksleben. Who is Russell Erksleben?
Oh.
If you think Brian Anger was a bad pick, damn. The Saints took Russell Erksleben 11th overall. He's a punter from the University of Texas. He punted for 4 years for the Saints. Not very distinguished. Never made a Pro Bowl. Ended his career in 83. Came back. I looked at his numbers today. Came back 4 years later, had one punt with the Detroit Lions in 1987.
Why?
I don't know, Dave. But that year in 87, he averaged 52 yards a punt. He just had the one. It was by far the best he's ever had. 11th overall pick in 79. Micah Ross, happy birthday, Micah Ross. How about this? Andrew Jackson High School, JU basketball star, walk-on on the JU football team, Jacksonville Jaguars. He also played with the Chargers. Micah Ross, happy birthday. Frequent tweeter of the program as well, 41 years young today. Nick Mangold, one of the solid choices by the Jets in the draft in recent years, 7-time Pro Bowler, 33 years old today, born on this date in 1984. That is this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The assault charges against Pittsburgh Steelers outside linebackers coach Joey Porter, stemming from an incident outside of a Pittsburgh bar last Sunday night, have been reduced, and the team announced yesterday that Porter will be back on the sideline for the team against Kansas City on Sunday in their divisional round matchup. The Los Angeles Rams had a busy Thursday, hiring the youngest coach in NFL history, the 30-year-old Sean McVay, who has been the Washington offensive coordinator for the past 3 years. The team also announced the hiring of Wade Phillips as the team's new defensive coordinator. And Bo Jackson, one of the biggest sports icons of all time, not just in the NFL or baseball, had some interesting comments in his recent interview with USA Today, saying, quote, "If I knew back then what I know now," Jackson told USA Today, "I would never have played football. Never. I wish I had known about all of those head injuries, but no one knew that. And the people that did know that, they wouldn't tell anybody. The game has gotten so violent, so rough. We're so much more educated on this CTE stuff. There's no way I would ever allow my kids to play football today. Even though I love the sport, I'd smack them in the mouth if they said they wanted to play football."
Okay. I'm afraid of CTE. Let me smack them in the head.
"I'd tell them, play baseball, basketball, soccer, golf, just anything but football." He did in the interview basically saying they were asked if he would have changed anything about his career. He said not a thing.
Okay.
So he just wished he had been informed, and then he wouldn't have done anything.
Right, then I would have known that my brain was going to be mush at the end instead of being surprised. And still would do it. Although soccer, you know what, you laugh. A lot of concussions in soccer. Yep. Having coached soccer for the last few years.
It's like one of the number one sports.
It really is, because you know, you're running around, especially if the kids are trying headers. Yeah. You got kids kind of jumping in the same area and forcing their head into the same area. It's not just the concussion of the ball hitting them. It's heads colliding
falling to the ground.
Falling to the ground, right, getting kneed in the head. I mean, I've seen it all over the last half dozen years.
I blame
years.
It on guys like you being allowed to teach soccer.
Could be. But let me tell you what, Tom Coughlin would have loved me, baby. Oh, we're up 16-1. Bury him. Let's bury him, all right? Let's stretch this thing out, all right? Trust me. We won a couple like that, too. And, that may not be the way to coach little kids. Now, look, there are times we lost, and I'm all about, you know, when you're 6, 7 years old, good effort and all that. There's nothing wrong with a little self-esteem building, right? But trust me, every kid, there's never a kid that didn't want to know, did we win or lose at the end of the game? Many of them follow the score themselves, and they'd be like, no, they'd argue with me. I'm like, trust me, coach knows what the score is, all right? I got this, all right? I got this. No, we're up by 7. We're not up by 6. Whatever. But kids want to win, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. Little, I don't know what I call them.
You play to win.
Little goal setters is what they are. 6-4-1-10-10. Josh on the west side. Hello, Josh. How are you?
Mike, I will say this on those this date in football history is you do your research, man. Russell Erksleben, I had never heard of him a day in my life.
Russ Erksleben. You know what? I hadn't until a few years ago, too, and I came up when I was doing a show with McManus back at the Toaster, if you remember that station or intermediary station before 1010XL came up, and I'd never heard of the guy either about 6, 7 years ago. But, yeah, man, that 11. Can you imagine, Josh, nowadays if a punter went in the top 15 selections of the draft?
Yeah, I would imagine either the general manager or whoever would draft him would not have a job. So I'll just go with that. Speaking of general managers, and I'll go ahead, I'll give my 50 cents now. The process of this whole lineup now, my question is in regard to Dave Caldwell. You pretty much, and I think Tyler hit it at the beginning of the show, you pretty much gave him a demotion. I'm trying to figure out where all this is going to work, who's going to make the pick, who's going to be in charge of free agency. Is it going to be Tom Coughlin's pick? Is it going to be his guys that he's going to bring in a free agency? You still have John Idzik there as the assistant GM or special assistant to the general manager. How is all this going to work, and all those guys going to be able to work in lockstep to get the right guys in place to hopefully bring the city a winner? And I'll take your comments off the air. You guys have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Who's to blame and who is to give him credit when a pick is made?
TC. He's the final say, right?
That's what I would say.
He said
it's all about team.
Yeah.
And that's great. But at the end, you don't consensus. Somebody has to, when there's a division in the room, somebody's got to say, this is it. This is the pick. And he cannot be overruled. And that's Tom Coughlin.
Does TC have the power to let go of Dave Caldwell?
That I don't know.
I don't know if he does or not. That's a very good question.
And we'll probably never know that answer.
Yeah. I think Dave Caldwell benefits Tom Coughlin as well here. I mean, Tom's never done this full-time on a day-to-day basis in this particular role. So I think Dave's going to handle a lot of
I think
Dave.
Dave's
going to
do what Dave's been doing.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think Dave, I don't know that his job changes all that much. I think the guy that he has to go to get the consensus from changes a lot. And that's really the key difference here. And I think the organization, there's a reason they want to keep Dave Caldwell around, right? I think that Shad Khan does feel like Dave did a pretty good job building a roster that he missed on these two really big decisions, potentially, with Blake Bortles and the head coach. And that's the reason why I probably would have let Dave Caldwell go. Shad looks at it and says, well, maybe it happened because he didn't have someone like Tom Coughlin to go to ask about these decisions. He had to ask me, and what do I know? So he brings in a guy like Coughlin. So now Dave goes through all that research, and he goes to Tom and says, what do you think about this? And if Tom says, no, we're going to do this because he's done his research too, well, now they go the direction Tom wanted to. I think they're going to agree a whole lot more than people seem to think they're going to agree. Yeah. It's like everyone thinks that Dave's going to have this plan and Tom's going to go, no, 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 and cut through all of it. I don't sense that's the way it's going to work. I think there's going to be a lot of it that Dave comes up with that Tom's like, yes, that's what we want to do. And I think there's going to be tweaking going on for both of them to figure out the exact right direction, but Tom's going to have the final say.
But at the same time,
it's still a demotion.
Right. Well, it is. It's a lessening of ultimate authority.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, however you want to put it, and maybe that's being too politically correct about it, because he's still the GM. He's still getting the same salary. He got a 2-year contract extension. It's not the worst case scenario here for Dave Caldwell.
He just now has to discuss his decisions with someone else. And that someone else can say, you know what, I don't think we should go that direction. I think this is the direction we should go. And he has to honor that. You know, if not, there's going to be a lot of butting of heads because, I mean, these are guys that have a lot of pride in them. No, I like this guy. Well, I don't like that guy. We're going to go with this guy. So it's somebody has to have the power over all of it, or they just be bickering back and forth.
And, you know, as far as Idzik goes, we met John Idzik, nice enough guy. Have you heard anything about John Idzik? Right, what his job is to basically keep an eye on the salary cap, right? Take the plans of Dave Caldwell in terms of player procurement, have not just a 2017 vision, but a out to, say, 2020 vision. How are we going to – let's look at who are our emerging young players that we want to keep. How much do we want to offer them? How long a contract? When do we give those contracts so they're not all coming due at the same time? You know, and so he's – I think – behind the scenes, he's done a very good job because the Jags cap situation continues to be robust.
Yep.
And I think Caldwell had a role in that as well. But I think those two have worked together very well. I don't think John Idzik, assuming he stays with the organization, is, you know, he's just going to continue in the capacity that he's been
in. No, and I think he can be a good check, right? Look, that's what went wrong with Coughlin. At the end of things here in Jacksonville, he was the head coach, general manager. He was controlling all of it and got the team in cap trouble. They couldn't get themselves out of it, and it wound up where they just weren't winning enough football games, and Coughlin was out the door. That's eventually what happened. But what got him in trouble was his inability to really manage the salary cap. Well, there's the distinct possibility that he's learned in 10 years in New York how to better manage that, watching someone else do it for him, basically. And he still has Idzik in the building where if he says, I want to do this and this, and Idzik goes, we can't make that work, right? And so you got to find some other way to do it. Or I guess you could go against Idzik if you wanted to.
At least he's showing you the dangers, the pitfalls.
But there's somebody there that can kind of check that side of it, too.
Check some balances.
It's a really interesting plan that they've put together here in Jacksonville. I think we all want it to work. I have questions about how it's going to work and whether it's going to work. I'm not totally sold on it. But it's a very interesting plan that they put together, and I think there is the potential for something pretty good here.
Keep in mind, though, when we talk about how much will Coughlin overrule, we presume there's going to be – I agree with you, Tony. I think the three of them, including Marone in the process, because Dave and Gus were – I know I said process, and I'd said it again, but I'm – Yeah, that word can be applied to different. I just say I owe $2 right now, okay? I owe $2, all right? $2 at minimum. Damn, this is going to be more expensive.
Yeah.
I fixed the Dave Campbell thing pretty quickly. You don't hear me saying each and every anymore. That went to Donna's college kids' college scholarship fund. But the point being that when we've heard the report that Doug Marone was interested in bringing in Donnie Henderson. Donnie Henderson, who formerly a Jaguars defensive backs coach. And was he with Marone in Syracuse?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think. He was at Syracuse in 2012, and he's coached defensive backs primarily throughout his career. He's been a defensive coordinator in the league. That there was a report that Tom, I think Alex Marvez might have tweeted it out, that Tom overruled that because Donnie Henderson had a history with Tom Coughlin going back to 2004, 2005, when at a joint practice between the Jets and the Giants. Henderson had been running his mouth all day, and at one point just started directly getting into it with Coughlin, yelling at him. I don't know what the source of it was particularly, but that is one report. So, Tom's not going to be a shrinking violet. If he doesn't want someone here, he's not going to have a problem telling Dave Caldwell, Doug Marrone, or anybody else.
Donnie Henderson, the DB's coach up in Buffalo under Marrone.
He was a DB coach. Okay. For Marrone in Buffalo.
In Buffalo, correct.
Trying to do the math here. Marrone, was he out of football for a year after he?
I believe he came straight here after he walked out.
He came straight here. So he was here in 16 and 15. So he was coaching in 14 and 13, right? And he was, Donnie Henderson was at Buffalo in 13 and 14.
He was most recently on the 2014 staff.
But he was also at Syracuse in 2012.
It's a long history.
I believe Marrone brought him probably from Syracuse to Buffalo. So they have a working relationship together. And it doesn't look like that will continue if Marvez's report is accurate. 641-1010 if you'd like to weigh in on any aspect of Jaguar football. Don't say the P word or else that $2 is going to grow apparently around these parts. Darn it. Why did I do this to myself? All right, we'll come back. We'll check more on the text line. The question of the day, just asking for your reaction to what you heard at yesterday's press conference. You can hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at DavidGerard9, and the Jaguars Today Facebook page is up and rolling as well. Jaguars Today, back in studio here on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I feel the pain and I know how difficult it's been, but make no mistake about it, the people of Jacksonville deserve a winner. We will put the right people in place to get that done. That's why I'm here. Thank you.
Think there was any coincidence that both Doug Marrone and Tom Coughlin specifically addressed the fans and the pain that they felt and the how much they deserve a winner, things like that. I loved what Coughlin said about he has an investment in the, and I'm paraphrasing, an investment in the long-term success of this franchise, you know, because he built it. It's his baby.
Yeah.
You know, he built it. But, you know, after 4 years of 15 wins, let that wash over you, right? 5 years of 17 wins. Forget whether it was just Gus Bradley. Just Jaguar fans have not seen on-field success in any large measure at any point in the last half decade. It always sounds worse when you say half decade, I think.
It does.
Anyway, so I do think there has to be some recognition of, hey, you've hung with us and you've continued to hang with us. We're making steps that we believe will lead to the success that we're all craving. But, man, long-suffering. Maybe not as long-suffering as some franchise, but who cares? Suffering long enough as far as – and it's not even, Dave, that they need to win a Super Bowl. Plenty of teams haven't won a Super Bowl ever and may never win a Super Bowl. But challenge for the division in the worst division in football occasionally, right, in that period of time. That'd be a step in the right direction.
I know it. I mean, I just – think back at the teams that we had, you know, when I was here and especially the years I was playing, man, if we could have just had the division in the shape it is right now, I mean, we would be winning the division every year just about. I mean, we had to go up against Peyton Manning all those years and, you know, it just was always like fighting uphill. But now it's like they want to hand it to you. They want to give it to you, and you just keep slapping it out of their hands. I don't want that.
Yeah.
Would you just take it away from me?
Right.
You know?
There's no team that has 12 wins before the season even starts. Like the Colts basically did every year, which is like, well, they're going to be 12-4. Can we get to 12 if we're going to compete with these guys? It's just really a tough math.
I know it. So it's sad. But I do believe the guys that are put in place now are going to make a difference. I don't know how much, but it's definitely going to be a difference, you know, so, but only time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, you got to try something, right? obviously, what they were doing was not working, and, you know, some people think it's half measures because you brought back a coach on the staff. We'll find out. Yeah. They may be right. You know what? Maybe we should have cleaned house entirely top to bottom. We'll find out.
With those last two games, especially the one before the last. I mean, that was amazing. We hadn't seen a game like that, honestly. And then the first half of that second one, I'm thinking, man, okay, this guy has a great shot here. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe the team looks this much different than that second half game. So it gave me a little bit more pause. But like I said, just talking to some of the guys that I know with the team, it was night and day, and it was absolutely because of the change at the top and why they started playing like they did. So hopefully that carries into next year and they play better.
Prior to this segment, you spent the last 10 minutes doing what exactly on your computer over there?
Oh, man, you know, just watching one of the best highlight tips. I kept thinking that they were just showing the same plays over and over again, but it was actually different teams. Dalvin Cook is a beast, and I knew that already, but I think he would be even more beastly with the Jaguar on his helmet. Like, that would be my pick.
When you see the highlights all put together, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. A lot of long touchdowns, 40 touchdowns total in the last 2 years.
Who have we had in the backfield that couldn't break off a run like that? Just if you actually happen to get past that first wave of guys, you know, we haven't really had too many guys that could just keep going, you know, besides Mojo, you know,
right,
a while back.
I mean, Corey Grant had the one in the season ender, but he's not.
But he's
an
not
every
your
down
guy.
Back,
yeah,
right? He's
you're not going to put, you know, the team on his shoulders and say, you know, go win this ball game for us. But that's the kind of guy that you can. I don't know how, you know, injuries and all that kind of stuff with him. I don't know what he's ever dealt with, but man, if he's out there, he could score at any point in time.
Let me ask you about the run game in general, because I do want to look at some of these top prospects here. Mel Kiper's got an updated big board. We're just going to roll through maybe the top 10. But talking with Dave Caldwell this offseason about the running game, and his belief, he goes, look, how many teams have an offensive line like the Dallas Cowboys or Oakland? Or, you know, there are a few teams whose offensive line will overwhelm you.
Yeah.
No question about it. But he's of the belief that the running game is more scheme than it is offensive line personnel. Not that there's anything wrong with having great personnel on the offensive line, but ultimately it comes down to executing the blocking scheme and having backs who fit what you want to run and understanding the concepts and all that. What is more important, having the horses up front or having it coached and taught properly and having the players buy into the system?
I mean, scheme is great, but when you don't have the guys executing that scheme properly, then it makes it tough when your guy's in the backfield, which is why when you can have a dynamic person back there, they can make your offensive line look that much better because they can make that guy miss a hole and get missing. You know, that's what you want. And so when your offensive line has the right scheme but not necessarily the right players that are producing that scheme, your back in the backfield can just – he can say, you know what, it looks like trash right here. Let me just keep bouncing this thing and hit that hole, you know, way back here that I'm not supposed to be at, but I'm so dynamic like that I can. Then he gives you those extra yards. He gives you those making that guy miss, you know, right at the line of scrimmage. And he should have been tackled for 3 yard loss, but man, he shook that guy off and got us 25. That's the kind of game changing player that you need. And like I said, you know, I love Chris Ivory. I think he's downhill, hard nosed guy, but that's tough when you're downhill into a wall, when you're not dynamic enough to, you know, make guys miss in a phone booth. Like you hear coaches say, it's tough. You need a hole to be able to break through so that you can run somebody over. But a guy like Dalvin Cook can make guys miss. He can, you know, split out and catch the ball on a little slant route and make the safety look terrible. You know, that's when you're a guy is that dynamic, you'd need that kind of player on your team to help elevate that, you know, those guys in the backfield.
It sounds like you just gave maybe the textbook definition of playing above the X's and O's, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you hear that expression, that's what it's talking. Like, you can block it up, you can scheme it to a certain point, but at a certain point, great player's going to make a great play.
Yeah,
that a normal player just simply cannot make.
And sometimes you have a good running back that can, you know, make enough plays, but, you know, they always get that arm tackle that brings them down. That, you know, guy hits them on the shoe and they trip up, and you need those guys that's not going to bring them down, or they're going to be so elusive that they can't get their hands on them. And they're like, man, what is up with this guy? And then they're so fast that you can't even catch up to him once he breaks through that little hole that was only there for half a second. You know, so those are the things that I think somebody like Dalvin Cook brings to the table, where you just get him the ball. Wherever he's at, you get him the ball, and he's going to make plays. I'm not saying he's just like Mojo, but Mojo was a lot like that. Everything wasn't always schemed, blocked up perfectly, but he just always made a play. He would bounce things back, and I would say, man, why'd you? I just felt it was just me and that, you know, one corner back there, and I knew that I could make him miss or, you know, run through his arm tackle and make a play, you know. So you need those kind of guys, guys that just see the game differently and can still make all those plays.
I'm not sure how much this indicates how much Tom Coughlin values the running back position, but the last 15 years with the Giants, the only guy that took ahead of the fourth round was David Wilson, 32 overall in 2012. And
didn't work out.
Had a short career, didn't really work out. A couple other guys they drafted, Ahmad Bradshaw in round 7, 2007, and Brandon Jacobs, fourth round, 2005.
Jacobs worked.
When they've got their guys, they got them late in the draft.
Yeah, the exception obviously being here with Fred Taylor.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying.
He completely changed
Tiki Barber's career.
Yeah.
When Tom Coughlin got to New York, which is why they drafted Jacobs where they did. He wanted that 1-2 punch at the running back spot, and they had it for a couple of years, and it led to one championship in 2007.
Isn't that crazy? Like, how did no one else teach Tiki Barber how to hang on to the football? And that's what it was. Yeah. Tom told him.
Oh, you saw him running high and tight, man.
And like, yeah. Has no football coach ever gotten a hold of Tiki Barber prior to this? It was very strange, but he went from being a good guy with a fumbling issue to a transcendent player for a period of time, and he was fantastic in terms of a total yardage guy. Mel Kiper's big board updated. No big surprise. You've been following it along. I know not everyone's a draft Nick out there. Miles Garrett, the defensive end out of Texas A&M, number one on his board. A lot of people think he's a consensus top player regardless of position. Jonathan Allen, number two. Early mocks had the Jaguars selecting him quite frequently, particularly when they're in the third spot. They're in the fourth spot now. The defensive end out of Alabama. Tony, you were saying Matt Miller said that his shoulder could be an issue?
Yeah, I'm reading Matt Miller put out a new mock draft this morning with a bunch of different notes and stuff, and one of the notes that he had in there was he talked to one AFC personnel director who said that Allen's shoulder injuries will be an issue. He's had two shoulder surgeries at Alabama. The director says there may have been another that wasn't reported. We'll see. So the combine could be really important for Jonathan Allen.
By the way, Miller has Deshaun Watson going number two overall in his draft to San Francisco. Am I looking at the same mock as you?
I don't think so.
I'm not? Really?
No.
It was funny.
Maybe it's not Matt Miller. Oh, it is Rob Goldberg. I'm sorry.
No, Matt Miller had Mitch Trubisky going number two.
Okay. So they both had a QB going number two.
On Roto World this morning, within an hour apart, Adam Schefter said he talked to three NFL personnel executives saying that they had a first-round grade on Deshaun Watson, while Daniel Jeremiah said he hasn't met anyone or talked to anyone who's given a first-round grade to Deshaun Watson. So kind of conflicting stories there.
Huh.
That's how it's going to be with him the whole time.
Send me a link to that mock, because I can't find. I tried to Google Matt Miller's mock.
Deshaun's going to be that guy throughout this whole process.
And, you know, I just see him as a winner. You know, does he have all the correct fundamentals and everything? I mean, I was watching him warming up for the game, and I'm thinking he's not transitioning his weight properly when he throws the ball. It's kind of like just the way he does it. He has a strong enough arm where he can get the ball in places where he needs it. And
he didn't have a cannon.
He doesn't have a cannon, but a strong enough arm.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's – but he has a decent size. He's not overly big, but he's fast, can make plays, has the ability to make guys miss, you know, all those kind of things. He needs to learn in, you know, NFL-style system, that kind of stuff. And that is what's going to take the transition time for him to grow into the NFL.
Yeah.
But he still has that it, you know, whatever that it is, he has it, and he is one of those guys that can change the game. You know, he's not much that you have to change with him to make him NFL ready.
Yeah, I'm nitpicking it a little bit because he's done this consecutive years against what's been considered the best defense in college football, but having Mike Williams on a couple of those jump balls, you know, Mike Williams, I don't know if Mike Williams is going to be as good as people hope he's going to be in the NFL.
Because, you
know, you're going to have more than just being able to outsize and outmuscle guys. We've seen other Mike Williams, not be able to separate from guys. Maybe he'll be able to separate better than I think. But, you know, he just out-muscled and out-jumped and high-pointed the ball. That's a good skill to have.
It is.
But
at least against Bama, that's the way he did it.
I watched
a little bit more of him this year where he does run away from guys.
No, he
does have some of that in him.
If he does, then he'll probably be better than the Mike Williams, both of them that came before him. Although Mike Williams went to Tampa was a freak of an athlete.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't keep it all together. Looking at, all right, let me just round out Mel's top 10 here. because I'm getting sidetracked. Myles Garrett, Jonathan Allen out of Alabama. Fournette is his third-ranked guy out of LSU. Reuben Foster, the inside linebacker out of Bama. Tony, you said Miller had him. You said some AFC.
He talked to an NFC. Basically, personnel director who said he had a perfect grade on him.
Perfect grade on him. Now, are the Jags in the market for an inside linebacker? I wouldn't think so.
No.
Right? Dalvin Cook, number 5 out of Florida State. Jamal Adams, the LSU safety at 6. Solomon Thomas, defensive end out of Stanford at 7. Jabril Peppers, safety out of Michigan. He does acknowledge that some teams will love him, some teams will hate him. He's 210 pounds.
It's confusing to me.
Right, is he going to be Deion Buchanan, or is he going to be a pure safety in the NFL?
I think it would have to be a safety.
I think, yeah.
I mean, he's so small. I think it would have to be a safety.
What's Delvin weigh? I ain't too much north of that.
No.
Yeah, right? I mean,
Telvin's taller. And
but he didn't play
more,
linebacker
you know,
at Michigan.
Yeah.
He played a lot of spots, but it was basically
like
all through the secondary.
Everywhere.
He's got William Telvin listed at 218. Mike Williams is his 9th overall player, and then Marshawn Lattimore, the cornerback at Ohio State. Keep in mind, this is big board of value.
Yeah.
It's just Mel's opinion. And while he has Deshaun Watson as a second-rounder, for instance, I'm sure he would acknowledge that. Funny things happen at the quarterback position, and shouldn't be shocked if he goes top 5. Let's get Steve in St. Augustine before we break here on this draft topic. Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Go ahead. What's up,
man?
Can
you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, just giving you a call. I wanted to say that I think we should definitely go offensive line in the first round, not a running back. Look what Dallas did. Ezekiel Elliott, I don't think he'd be half the back he was if he wasn't behind that O-line. And no matter who you get, if your O-line's not fixed, you're not going to have anything.
All right, well, I understand it's probably a little hyperbole in there. I think Ezekiel would definitely be half the back that he was somewhere around. He's a pretty talented guy in his own right. You can't force a pick there. You cannot. What if, for instance, if you knew the best offensive lineman available is a Luke Jokel-level player, you still feel the same way?
Nope.
That's why you can't just say draft X.
Yeah.
Now, if you say, I think Cam Robinson is worth the 4th overall pick out of Alabama, we should draft him. Okay, I can get that. Most draft pundits don't believe he's worthy of that high of a selection. In fact, you see Kuiper doesn't have a single offensive lineman in the top 10.
I would just hate to start off, with another young guy at the offensive line. I mean, I would like to have a free agent that some of that could count on, but then you think guys like Beatles that you brought in that you thought, you know, was going to be that guy and really never turned out to be. So, I just hate to have to start to have another young guy being in a position that we need, and he's unproven, you know, and especially in the first round where there's not even a guy that's graded, you know, that high in the first round. I don't want to reach for a guy just to say that, you know, we filled a void at the offensive line, you know.
Now, look, if there's a guy that they feel is on an even level in terms of overall talent as a Dalvin Cook or a Leonard Fournette, okay, you know, we'll find out. I don't, but again,
you're just not seeing that right now. I mean,
no.
I'm looking at, you know,
that
Matt
doesn't
Miller's
mean these guys
draft.
Are right,
no.
By the way.
Yeah. But the highest drafted lineman he has is Ryan Ramczyk out of Wisconsin, going number 20 to Denver. And actually, he's the 2-round mock, and he had our mock, and he had Cam Robinson coming to Jacksonville in the second round.
Second round. Huh.
Yeah.
You sign up for that?
Yeah.
No, I'd sign up for that. Although, you know, the sense I get right now, if I had to bet all the quarters that are going to go into the P-word jar, okay, that – you're going to have Beecham starting at one tackle. You're going to have Parnell starting at the other tackle. You're going to have Linder in the middle, and you're going to have Cann at one of the guard spots. Opening day, those four will be in your starting lineup, I predict, right now. Now, will they go out and get somebody in free agency? They might. I think it's more likely they get a guard than they get any other position. Tony's been on the run. Leary bandwagon with the Dallas Cowboys. That's fine. You know, there are other, you know, decent guards that are available in free agency.
T-Wick's been on Zietler, and I would love to see that too.
Yeah, what is T.J. Lang of the Green Bay Packers is out there. There's some quality players out there and available. I don't think they think – we'll see. Coughlin's going to take a fresh look at all this.
Yep.
But I don't think they thought this year that the offensive line was as bad as certainly it was in previous years. Doesn't mean it can't stand upgraded. We got to take a timeout. We'll come back. More of your reaction to everything Jaguars on Jaguars Today on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Malik Jackson, and you're listening to the only weekday show dedicated to your Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
I'm grateful to be back here in Jacksonville, where the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation originated, and to once again thank the wonderful people of Greater Jacksonville for their support. Thank you for this very warm welcome. Judy's excited to be here. I'm excited to be here. And I look forward to working with each and every one of you for the betterment of our team. And it's time for us to get to work. Thank you very much.
Hey, it's going to be they always have a banner turnout at the J-Fun Wine Tasting Gala. And it's going to be pretty packed. It's going to be a hotter ticket. As your tickets are on sale right now, go to tcjfun.org. You're welcome, TCJFun.
I just got my email for it.
I did too. I love it. And I counted. That's my guaranteed one night out of the year, yep. Dave, at least locally, that I take. And it's on St. Patrick's Day this year, so it's amateur nice. Night, which is nice. As well, all the amateur drunks come out on St. Patrick's Day. You know, I always try to avoid like going out on St. Patrick's Day because I'm Irish 365. I don't need to be yeah. Irish just, you know, on that one day. But it's a dangerous night out at times. That's why I usually get a room at the Omni.
There you go.
after drinking all that wine. Let's get a call in that's been hanging on the line. We'll clear that up, and then we'll go around the table. We'll get some reaction on Twitter to yesterday's press conference, and then pick the playoff games this weekend. Bruce is up next here on 1010XL. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, MD. Great show, man. I really appreciate your objectivity. Really, you have a very good show.
No, we appreciate that.
I want to just comment, and it's really exciting to see Coughlin, to see that he's back. I mean, I really get the feel they're going to improve because I've been very critical of them over the last few games, last few years. Now, and the one thing that I'm excited about is that if they're, say, 0-4, just, you know, at the beginning of the season, and Bortles is at, you know, thrown a few pick sixes and they haven't been in any close games, I don't think Coughlin would be tolerant if he would not leave Bortles in over the last few years. And I think to that end, he will probably bring in a legitimate quarterback to compete with Bortles. What do y'all think of that?
I don't know if they're going to.
Options, man. I mean, it's just, it's a matter of options. And we've been talking about this for a month. There's really nothing in free agency that's all that interesting.
That's a guaranteed upgrade.
Yeah.
That you'd be willing to pay for.
And there's guys that you could bring in to compete with them, but the guys that would legitimately compete with them cost a lot. At least it looks like they're going to cost a lot. It's why it's so important if you're going to spend the number three pick to hit. And look, I get it. Go draft another guy. Who? I mean, is there a guy that you like it for? If there's a guy that you like it for, well, listen to whatever argument you want to make to draft the guy. It's just, I get it. And we get the same thing about offensive line. Well, they need to improve the offensive line before they do anything else. How? You know, it's not as simple as saying, we want this to be better. It's, we want this to be better, and here's the steps that we can take to actually make that happen.
My feeling is, with so much emphasis, and rightly so, on this team needs to win now. I don't see that fourth pick going to a quarterback.
No,
I don't care.
No.
You tell me what quarterback. I don't. It's not going to happen.
I do see something happening, though, whether it is somebody in free agency, like you said, who. But I don't think that even Doug Marrone will let that go on where there's all these pick sixes, we're not winning any games. Whoever the next guy to come in is going to get that opportunity. Just because that's how football is played, you can't continue to keep your job and you're hurting the team. You're the direct reason why the team is hurting. There has to be some accountability. There has to be the thought process in the quarterback's mind that I can't just show up and do whatever I'm going to do and, you know, they're just going to take it.
Man, it's January 13th. We're too close to what just happened for me to even contemplate an 0-4 start with a bunch of pick sixes. I don't even want to put myself in that mindset.
But when you've been watching for the last 5 years.
I'm just saying, can I take a mental vacation from that kind of imagery for a month, maybe? All right.
You're in the wrong business to
perhaps take us. I am. Nobody wants the Houston Texans, right? Nobody's picking
not
Houston.
Even close.
Let's skip past that
game's
one.
Game's over
right?
at halftime.
That's the first one, and we all got the Patriots advancing in that. Now, Atlanta-Seattle, Saturday night. I'm going to stay with the Seahawks. I'm going to pick them to go to the Super Bowl. Put it this way, if I were betting in Vegas, this is the shakiest pick I'm going to make right here. I wouldn't
right
put
now.
My money. Is it 4.5?
4.5.
But I'm picking the Seahawks. I'm not going to be one of these guys that tries to play it on both sides of the fence. I pick them to go to the Super Bowl. They're one of the final eight teams. I'm going to stay with the Seahawks in Atlanta. Who you got, Tony?
I got Atlanta.
Atlanta.
At home.
Yeah, I'm going to Atlanta. I just think this is the year that Matt Ryan gets out of the first round. Not the first round, but his first playoff game that he plays in and does something. I think this is a great chance for him to show his real worth, not just regular season worth, but playoff worth.
Tyler Devitt.
Atlanta's looking for revenge, and I'm going with the Falcons.
Yes, they are. Is Richard Sherman going to be allowed to get away with a phantom pass interference call at the end of the game? Yes, sir! All right, Pittsburgh, Kansas City. Tony, who you got?
I like the Steelers on the road to steal it.
Steelers stealing it on the road. David Garrard.
So now this is the tough one for me. You know what? I just think the Steelers... No. I take that back. Big Ben's got a little injury in his ankle, prima donna, whatever you guys want to think. I just think that Kansas City just continues to pound him and makes it rough for him all day. I'm going to go with Kansas City.
The Steelers were my preseason Super Bowl pick.
Right. I think this is a toss-up kind of game, Tyler.
It is.
I think the Chiefs might be the best team in the AFC, so I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
There you go.
That's crazy.
With the Chiefs as well.
Did you forget the Patriots play in the conference?
Patriots have had a weak schedule.
Weak schedule, baby. Very weak schedule. And the Chiefs went toe-to-toe with them last year. I'm with you, Tyler Devitt. Chiefs advance to the AFC Championship game, and then we've got Green Bay, Dallas. David Garrard.
All right, I talked about this one last week. I think it's going to be Green Bay. But I think this might be one of the games for the ages. I just see it awesome game all the way down, all the way through and through. I think Dak plays well. I think Zeke plays well. But I just think Aaron Rodgers has too much.
Tyler?
I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I think Aaron Rodgers makes a lot out of nothing. But not having Jordy Nelson is going to be a big key for them. I'm going to go Cowboys.
Tony?
I told you last week whoever won the New York-Green Bay game is going to the Super Bowl, and I'm not coming off that at all. I thought that would be the hot team in the NFC. It seems to be playing out that way. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best two players in the league, if you ask me, and he's red freaking hot right now. I like the Packers on the road.
Your theory last week, though, was that Khalil Mack was the best player on the field, and they would win. Aaron Rodgers will be the best player on the field. And they can buy tickets to watch the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC Championship game next week. I got the Cowboys as well. Hey, you know what? Nobody knows what's going to happen. That's kind of the beauty. Although last week, if you just said, yes, I do, the home teams are going to all handle their business, you would have been absolutely correct. Anything jump out at you on Twitter today in terms of the reaction? Anything clever?
Tumescent was pretty good from Brian.
That's how he's feeling.
I'll leave that to everyone out there.
Head to your dictionaries. You're not sure?
Yeah.
Good for you, Brian.
From Jarrell. Looking forward to getting tired of all this winning. Hashtag win lunch. That's pretty good. From top five again, he said, threw my lunch away. Hashtag Jaguars today. So.
All right. Alvaro said, did not hear a word mentioning the playoffs. When they say win and there's nothing else but win, you know what they're talking about. At least I feel like I know what they're talking about. Right. I mean, you go from 3-3. Let's just talk about the focus is win everything. Win lunch, baby. Let's go win lunch. Right now, because it's about quitting time here on Jaguars today. Thanks to Beef and Jordan, along with Tyler, for carrying the program through the better portion of the show today. The early part.
It was downhill from there.
When
Great Park has to be a part of.
It was. TC pulled the plug on us earlier today, so we'll hopefully be back in our Everbank confines next week.
Someone said it may have been the Russians.
It could have been. It could have been some kind, or some 400-pound guy in his bed somewhere. For all I know, I don't know how this hacking thing works. For Fat Tony, for David Garrard, for Alfred the Butler. Does he really want to be known as that? Probably not. But I started it now. It's how I'm going to remember.
He's just smiling.
Intern Alfred's name. I know. At least he got mentioned on the show. There's that going for him. I'm going to have to look up Alfred E. Newman. I think I'd rather be Alfred the Butler than Alfred E. Newman, though. Not too many famous Alfreds, but that's it for us today. Thanks to Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, for all your roofing needs. 287-7756, license number CCC056797, re-roofs, repairs. They'll work with your insurance company as well to get you the best deal. Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars today. Midday Chalk coming up next. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Jags! Right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.